and the morning of joy, if it's still morning by that time, it'll be a little more joyous. I don't think it'll take quite that long to get into the afternoon. We've been talking this past month about the local church, about what the Lord expects for the church to be. And this morning I want to talk about a unified spirit that the congregation of God's people are to have, a unified spirit. It is the Lord's church. We've talked about this verse here where Jesus says he wants to build his church. He will build his church. And it is his church. If it's the church the way it's supposed to be, it's his church. There's no good in being in any other kind of church than his church. It won't do you any good at all. But to be his church, it has to be organized the way that he organizes it. It has to teach what he would have it to teach. And it also needs to have a unified spirit, because that's what Christ wants his church to have as well. We'll talk about that for a few moments this morning. The local church, of course, just is a way of referring to a group of Christians who are gathered and assembled in a local area, so they get together. Christians all over the place, the ones who get together right here, this is the local church. And what do? They gather, they worship together, they work together, and they look out for each other. That's what a local church does. And one of the things that the Lord wants is unity of spirit. He wants us to be unified. Now, he wants all Christians to be unified, and that's a different matter. All Christians everywhere should be unified, should teach the same things and worship the same way and so forth. But it also works on a local level. The Lord wants us to be united. As we gather and as we worship and as we work, we need to work together, worship together, watch out for each other together, and be united in that effort. For instance, in this passage here in John 17, on the evening before Jesus was crucified, he prayed. And Jesus could have prayed for a lot of things on that night. But the one thing that we know he prayed for and prayed about was his followers. And he wants his followers to be united. John 17 and verse 20, I am not asking on behalf of them alone, but also on behalf of those who believe in me through their message. Not just praying for his immediate disciples, the apostles, he's praying for all Christians. And if you consider yourself a Christian, then you need to understand that he's praying for you if you are a Christian. That all of them may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. This is something Jesus wants from all of his followers, including us here in this local congregation. He wants us to be one. Now, that's a lot more than just all of us claiming to be Christians. It's a lot more than all of us just having some kind of vague understanding that we're all part of a single congregation or that we're all Christians together. The degree to which Jesus is praying that we may all be one is a high degree. It's a powerful degree, because he specifies, just like you and I are one, Father. You don't think the Father and Jesus are one in many ways and in a very powerful way? Of course they are. They are one. That's the unity that we're striving for now. It's impossible to get there. But we can get there enough to answer Jesus' prayer. It's what Jesus prayed for. Jesus didn't pray for things unless he really means them. We need to be one. We need to strive to be one. To give answer to our Master's prayer, for whom this congregation is named, It is the church of Christ. And He wants His followers to be one. He wants that. We need to give answer to His prayer. We need to be united in our service. And service is what we talked about last week. We talked about all of the things that we are to be doing for each other. And we use the passage in Romans. But, you know, there's a certain unity in service, right? Part of what unites us and brings us together is the things that we do for each other, the teaching and the encouraging and the worship and the, you know, the sharing, the giving and the encouragement. All of those things tend to naturally bring us together. And that's part of the objective. Sometimes we just get so objective or goal-oriented that we forget what the real objective and the goal is. You know, and that is to bring us together in the service of Jesus Christ, in the love of Christ. Sometimes we say, I don't care what you think. I'm going to serve you this way. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to serve you whether you like it or not. Well, wait a second. The service ought to be actually drawing us together. Think about that. Romans 12, 4 through 5. For just as we have many members in one body and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. That's the way the body, the church, the congregation should work, as each member functions to contribute to the whole. Drawing together, not separating, not everybody just kind of doing their own thing to suit themselves, but to serve the whole. Unity of service. And there's a certain amount of coordination that has to go on to make that happen, but it also takes a certain amount of listening to one another's needs and sharing those needs with one another. How does one part of my body know what the other part needs? Well, there's a nervous system that connects all the parts of my body together. And if one part is hurting or in need, needs some help, the other parts get alerted to that fact and come to the aid. So there's unity there. There's a unity of service that takes place in the body of the Lord's church. We who are many are one body in Christ. And I've already talked about that, so I'm not going to belabor that point. We need to have unity of faith and knowledge. Now, this is tricky because that's part of what unites us, our faith. It's part of what we have in common, what we know about the Lord through the gospel. But it's not something where, okay, we have a common faith, a common knowledge, and that's done, that's settled, we'll just move on to something else. It doesn't work that way either. We need to continue to strive to have the same faith and the same knowledge. In Ephesians 4 and verse 13, and this whole passage in Ephesians 4 is really about unity. It's about the unity, you know, there's one body, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and the unity of the Spirit. And then he also uses the analogy of a body, and all the parts and the sinews and the connecting points come together to serve the whole body. And we already talked about this passage in Ephesians 4 about how the Lord has given us apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, and each one works to equip the saints, to equip the members, so that they can do the work of service to the building up of the body. But then he goes on to say here in verse 13, until we reach unity. Now you see, you could have just stopped at verse 12. You could have just said, the body grows. All the parts work together to serve the body, so the body grows. Okay, the body grows. We're done, right? Well, apparently not. Verse 13. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, as we mature to the full measure of the stature of Christ. All of us. It's not, okay, I'm here in this church until I reach maturity, until I reach the fullness. Oh, no. No, if that's your idea, then you are failing as a Christian. We're in this together. We are working together, serving one another together. The evangelists and the pastors and the teachers and the members performing the work of service until we all reach the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Well, man, that is a powerful goal. That is a tremendous goal. And it is an ongoing one. It's one that we won't achieve until this world is actually over with. But it's one we're working on even now. You know, we talk about this. Sometimes we say, well, we don't know now, but we will by and by, you know, afterlife, we'll know. And so it's almost like we just say, well, you know, we're just not going to know. Well, there's a lot that we can know. There's knowledge of the Son of God. There is a common faith that we can continue to plumb the depths of as revealed in the Word of God. And part of what we do here is we study in these Bible classes and we preach these sermons, but we also study on our own, but then we share those thoughts and conversations about what we've studied and what we've learned. And we're all working together until we all obtain the unity and faith and knowledge of the Son of God. So, really good, effective Bible study and sharing should bring us closer to a common understanding. It should. Sometimes it works kind of the opposite way, but see, then we're forgetting the goal. This is the goal. And so there's some unity there that we're striving for. And that doesn't necessarily mean we're going to agree on everything, that we're all going to come to see things exactly my way. Of course, that's the only way that we're all going to be able to see it together, is to see it my way, right? Well, no, that's the wrong idea. That's the wrong attitude. You know, if it turned out that I didn't really need your help, then I guess that the Lord wouldn't have had a church, you know. But we have a church because the Lord wants us to have a church, because we're all working at this together. Listening, learning, till we all come to a unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God. That's the exercise that we're engaged in, brethren. We ought to be engaged in. Because there's more to learn, and there's a greater faith to have, and we're working for it together. There's also, of course, unity of love and harmony. That's what people usually think about when they think about unity. They think about, well, we just love each other and we get along with each other. And of course, that is definitely part of it. There's this unity of service that is a little different animal. And certainly this thing about unity of faith and knowledge, that's a different thing. But this unity of, and it's all related, it's all connected, but unity of love and harmony is part of the Spirit. It's part of this consciousness of each other that defers to one another. It's like the passage that John read in Romans 12 today, you know. You look out for each other, and you don't think more highly of yourself than others, and you defer to those who maybe you're tempted to think that they're beneath you or something, but you don't do that because you're striving for this harmony. And harmony is a hard thing to get, especially if you're out of tune. you need to harmonize. You know, this guy's singing up here, and you're singing here, and somebody else is singing here, and you're all hitting those notes together. It's harmony. And the affection, the love, the closeness. Romans 12, again, let love be without hypocrisy. Don't be two-faced. Don't be just for show. Let it be true, earnest, genuine love. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. See, that's unity. Give preference to one another. Give preference to one another in honor. What does that mean to prefer someone? Well, it doesn't mean like, I like your clothes better than mine. Or, you know, I like the way you look better than I look. Or, it's not talking about that. It's talking about put them first. You're first, I'm second, third, fourth, last, doesn't matter, you're first. Prefer them, give them preference. Never be lacking in zeal, Romans 12:11. But keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. And that's so key. That when someone is joyful, don't knock them down. Don't say, "What are you so happy about? What do you got to be happy about? Look at this problem. Look at that problem. You shouldn't be happy." Don't be that way. Rejoice. Someone's got something to rejoice about, rejoice with them. And then when they mourn, mourn with them. See, that's unity of love and harmony. It's not just about expressing affection. It's doing the things that true affection does. Lifting them up, encouraging, rejoicing, mourning with them. We all have at times enough things to mourn about. Let's make use of that opportunity to mourn with somebody. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Live in harmony. How do you even go about carrying out an instruction like that, a command like that? Live in harmony. Well, see, when you harmonize with someone, you listen to their singing, and then you adjust your voice to get in line with theirs. And good groups, singing groups, that's what they do. They're listening to each other, and they're when they get off a little bit, they get back in, and they get in harmony. And so it's a constant effort of listening to your brethren, watching your brethren, and saying, you know, this is where they're needing a little help, and this is where I need a little help. And, you know, you harmonize. I hear what you're saying, brother. I hear where you come from, sister. You know, that's what you do. With all humility, Ephesians 4 again, coming back to Ephesians 4, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, and with diligence to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. See? All of these things. Now, this is big S Spirit. You could go either way on that. But it really works the same way either way. If you are truly producing the fruits of the Spirit, like Paul talks about in Galatians, they're very much the same things that he mentions here. Humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, love. These are fruits of the Spirit. And when you're producing the fruits of the Spirit, and I'm producing the fruits of the Spirit, and we're both producing the fruits of the Spirit, well, the fruits of the Spirit, as you will notice, don't really mean much of anything unless there's somebody else around. They're not really the kind of thing that you can produce on your own. If you're on a desert island, it's difficult to be humble and gentle and patient and bear with one another. You can't do that. It's just you. That's kind of why we have a church. That's kind of why the Lord wants us to congregate. I know. It's frustrating. I know that, you know, like I said last week, you know, a woman who said, I love the Lord, but some of His children get on my last nerve. Well, the reason why we still have to stick together, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, love, the unity of the Spirit, is unity between brethren who are living together in harmony. That's what we are to do. And let me just say, if we're failing to do that, then we're failing. See? And if we're succeeding in that, we're succeeding. Preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is a bond of peace. And there is unity of the Spirit. Preserve it. Preserve it. I got something out of the fridge the other day. If you're like us, we'd make a lot of food and we don't eat it all, and we stick it back in the fridge, And so we had two containers of rice and sausage. And I got confused. I ate the less fresh one, and I had to spit it out. But we stick things in the fridge to preserve them, right? Because if we don't preserve things, they go bad, right? It takes effort on everybody's part, a constant effort, continual effort, to preserve the unity of the Spirit, to preserve the bond of peace. And the way that works is that when you get the hint, something going bad, you give it some help. you get back into that mode of thought. Rather than antagonism and reacting in a bad way, you say, okay, this is an opportunity for me to practice some patience and some gentleness and some humility, and I'm going to do that here, because if I don't do that, I can see us not preserving the bond of peace and the unity of the Spirit. That's the way that works. Take for your example this encouragement. I urge Euodia and Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Now, that's a pretty specific verse in Paul's letter to the Philippians. And not knowing the context, we can make up our own context. Why would Paul say that? We can surmise that maybe these two women, and these are feminine names, in the congregation weren't getting along with each other. I don't think I'm going out on a limb when I say that. Can you imagine that? Two women in the congregation not getting along with each other? That never happens. Sometimes it happens. And Paul calls them out. That maybe had to be a little embarrassing. You know, you two need to get along with each other. Now, which one of them was right and which one was wrong? Oh, I'm sure it was Euodia who was right and Syntyche was wrong, right? I'm sure, because you know how Syntyche she can be. You know, oh yeah. Well, you know, it doesn't matter, does it? Doesn't matter. Maybe they were both wrong, or maybe they were both right, but they had a difference of opinion. I don't know. It doesn't matter. You see that? You see, women are important in the church. Men are important in the church. Young people are important in the church. Old people are important in the church. But women are important in the church. You know why they're important? Because they go a long way toward preserving this unified spirit that we have. Because they talk, you know, and that's what they're supposed to do. You know, we're all supposed to talk to each other and supposed to encourage each other and communicate. And sometimes in that communication and that encouraging, well, somebody says something maybe a little out of line, or someone has a difference of opinion about this, that, or the other thing. And so there's the potential there for that to throw everybody off track. Everybody. And of course, I don't think Paul would have written this unless it really was a problem for the whole congregation, that these two women were not getting along with each other. And so Paul says, you know what, you two? You all work that out. That's the way that works. It ought to work that way. Unity of mind. Unity of mind. Philippians 2 and verse 2. Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Man, that's a lot of unity. But being of the same mind and united in spirit and intent on one purpose is something that is achievable. In the context of our mutual service of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, with our hearts attuned to His teaching and following the instructions of the apostles, we can do this, brethren. We can be of the same mind. But it takes study and sobriety and humility and hard work, but we can do that. 1 Peter 3, verse 8, finally, all of you have unity of mind. Unity of mind. Sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. See, a lot of this has to do with this. A lot of this unity of mind has to do with having the humble mind. Because you see, the problem so often that brethren can't have a unity of mind is because everybody thinks that they're right. Everybody thinks that they're so right and you're so wrong. I'm right, you're wrong. I'm right, you're wrong. And that mentality leads to a lot of wrong, is what it leads to. We need to make sure that in our striving to be right, that we don't become wrong. Humility. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. The Corinthians had a whole lot of this disunity going on. And so Paul writes him, he says, I appeal to you. I appeal to you, brothers. We're supposed to be brothers. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, He is our Lord. It is His church. Not our church, His church. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree. Agree together so that there be no divisions among you and that you may be united in mind and conviction. Now, that doesn't mean that there weren't some wrong people in Corinth. A man living with his father's wife, that was wrong. That needed to be put right. And they hadn't been doing anything about that. And part of the problem there was this mentality of, well, we'll just kind of all accept that. That's not the kind of unity we're talking about. You need to come to an agreement. The agreement needs to be right in the eyes of the Lord. Need to do something. Come together and say, look, what this brother is doing is not right, and we all need to agree to do something about that. That's part of that agreement. Part of it was just, you know, people not getting along with each other. Part of it was people showing off and trying to be in charge. And part of it was just misunderstanding about certain things, like the Lord's Supper. You know, but there's a way forward. There's a way to come to a unity of mind, to understand things and to practice them together. And that's what we should be striving for in the church. In conclusion, well, unity of voice. We need to have one voice. Romans 15, 5 and 6. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to do. You know, I want to be in that heavenly chorus. All saints singing together with one voice. Won't that be awesome? Well, that's what we're striving for here. To speak and act and sing and pray and worship with one voice. That's success. See? That's part of the success. And we have it here. Let's work on it. Preserve it. Keep at it. It's a beautiful thing. That's my message this morning. And it's still morning, so it's a morning of joy. If you're not a Christian, being a Christian is wonderful. It's great. And part of the greatness of it is that you have this body of brothers and sisters who join with you to work together, to unite together in one spirit in the service of Jesus Christ. And if you want that for yourself, if you want the forgiveness that is found in Christ and the family that is found in Christ, then become part of it by obeying the gospel. Believe in Jesus. Turn away from your sins. Confess His name. Be baptized. One body, one Lord, one Spirit, one baptism. Become part of us who are striving together to be unified in spirit. If that's what you want for yourself this morning, come forward and say that you will as we stand and sing.